This is Twit.
In an open letter published this week, inventor of the web, Tim Berners-Lee, said of his 30-year-old creation, quote, "While the web has created opportunity, given marginalized groups a voice, and made our daily lives easier, it has also created opportunity for scammers, given a voice to those who spread hatred, and made all kinds of crime easier to commit." Here to discuss the web at 30 is Tom Merritt, sci-fi author and host of Daily Tech News Show, It's a Thing, Cord Killers, and so many others. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, Tom.
We thought we'd have you because you also are turning 30 years old this week. So
every week I turn 30.
You don't look a day older than 27.
And I think Jason should be allowed to have cake for that.
Yeah. Well, it's been suggested that for obvious reasons that he should have pie.
Even better choice.
Pie day. Seriously. Happy pie day, everyone.
Happy pie day.
Do you think the web is, as Tim Berners-Lee says, going through a prolonged adolescence?
I don't even know if it's prolonged, but it's definitely in its adolescence. Yeah, I really like this. Now, interestingly, 5 years ago, he wrote a similar post about the 25th anniversary of the web, talking about the problems of surveillance from governments, because that was the hot item then. So it'll be interesting 5 years from now if these are still the problems. But I do agree that he has identified criminal use, things like harassment, malicious hackers, even state supported hacking, that should be treated with laws. He called for a redesign of the web to change the incentives that lead to things like clickbait and fake news and all of that. But the really important one was to research and understand why we actually have this kind of culture of outrage that's caused by social networking. He said you can't just blame one government, one social network, or the human spirit. Simplistic narratives risk exhausting our energy as we chase the symptoms of these problems instead of focusing on their root causes. To get this right, we will need to come together as a global web community. And I think that's something we don't hear enough of, is that, yeah, it's easy to chase after whatever the outrage of the day is and say there ought to be a law. But to understand what about the web is causing that situation is treating the disease, not just the symptoms.
I hate to feel like pessimistic as far as, you know, the comment around coming together and uniting and everything. But the reality is there are so many people, so many entities that have agendas that go counter to that operate and thrive and resist that counter to that. They have so much more to gain on the other side. How optimistic are you that we actually have the ability to, as a whole, as all web citizens, come together on this and overcome this mountain of opposite forces that just feels so intense?
That's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I brought up the 25th anniversary post he made about government surveillance, because as we all know, government surveillance was solved. It's not a problem anymore. I'm being sarcastic, but
it is
a tall order. And Tim Berners-Lee saying it in his 30th anniversary post is not going to fix it, but it can't hurt. Yeah. And the more people talk about it and think about it, the better. I am optimistic that it can be fixed, that it's possible for people to finally, you know, figure out how to route around this problem, because the internet does always route around problems. But so far, I'm with you, Jason, that, if conditions remain as they are, it's there's not a lot of reason for optimism right at this second.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of treating the symptom and not the disease, and I get it, but I don't really understand how that would work either. I mean, and I think also reading his contract for the web, it just sort of reminds me of how the web itself was created by a lot of people who are very similar to one another, libertarian mostly, people who hadn't necessarily had the life experience where they would experience some of the hatred or just the things that, you know, we now see the web doing. Like, the people that created it couldn't imagine that because it hadn't been part of their regular life experience. So how do we treat the symptoms?
Well, you find out, you research what's causing them, right? And the problem is we all want the simple answer. We all want the story that comes out and says, Facebook has been causing outrage among people, so let's ban Facebook doing things. Let's have a simple answer. And the realistic answer is we don't know. we don't know how to stop it. And just banning one or another practice, as we saw with Zuckerberg's pivot to privacy letter, isn't really the thing that's going to solve it. The companies are going to move towards what they think keeps them from being in trouble with the public and governments and helps their bottom line. And so you need external academics and independent organizations and open source organizations taking some time to look at this. And there are studies out there that are doing this and finding out actually a lot of bots didn't change people's opinions, but what did change people's opinions was if they were directed into small groups, and redesigning how groups work and how membership worked seemed to have an effect on the extremity of people's opinions. You need more research like that. So there isn't an answer, but right now we have a lot of people jumping to conclusions and suggesting solutions without really getting to the bottom of what's causing them.
Yeah, it becomes a lot easier to see what the problem is and obviously not what the cure is. And I think ad networks is a prime example of that, right? Like the entire web, the money behind the entire web is so driven, so, you know, at its core, dialed into the way that modern ad networks, process their business online. That seems to go, that seems to be a big flag if what you're trying to do is adhere to his contract for the web. We know the problem. We definitely don't know the solution on that, because pulling the rug out from underneath that really, at its core, means rewriting how business is done online. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. And again, saying ad money is the problem, let's pull the rug out of under it is not the solution. But let's actually create some redesigns. Is when he talks particularly about that sort of thing, he says let's redesign things to change the incentive. Right now the incentive is get to the top of search rankings and buy your way up to the top otherwise. And there are other alternative designs out there that you could try to use. In fact, Tim Berners-Lee himself is working on a project called Solid with MIT that would change the way ID management is handled in a way that would put you in charge of your identity and who gets to use it, and would entirely change the way ad systems work, because companies would no longer control whether they have your identity and what they could do with it. Again, the question is, can you get enough momentum behind those sorts of projects for them to make a difference? That's a big question. Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the argument that the internet is us and we're flawed? Like we're both good and bad and the internet just reflects that and the end. What do you say to that?
I'm right with you up until the end. The internet is us. And yet we change. The problems that folks had with television are not the same problems that they had in the 1960s today. So the problems that people had with comic books in the 1950s, not the same problems they have with comic books today. We as a society are learning how to use a new tool. And anytime an adolescent learns how to use a new tool, Megan, I know you know this, it's not pretty.
Yeah, they start smashing it on the table and seeing how they can break it before.
Well, that's more. Then we're more in the toddler stage. I think, are we still in the toddler?
I don't think it's smashing it on the table. I think we are more adolescents, where you're like, watch where you point that. No, that's not how you use that. Slow down. You know?
Or let's experiment with this.
To your actions.
And that. Yeah.
Don't run with scissors.
The internet's prefrontal cortex is not fully developed, is what you're saying.
Right. It's very risk-taking, but not risk-adverse.
Okay.
Berners-Lee should be very proud of what he's done. Obviously, 30 years of this technology that has literally changed the foundation of how the world works is something to be really, really proud of, I think. And no one could have, in his position 30 years ago, created something and known what it would lead to. For all the good, there's also a mixture of bad in there. But how do you think he really feels, like at his core, about this technology, his baby, 30 years later? Like, do you think he has regrets about creating it, or do you think he's hopeful for where it's headed?
I mean, honestly, you asked him, Berners-Lee. I don't know. From the tone of his post, it feels like he still believes in it as a good thing. And he points out at the very beginning, he's like, don't forget all of the things that we used to have to do on our own. 30 years ago, we had to put stamps on envelopes if we wanted to talk to anyone who wasn't, nearby or use a phone. Answers to questions meant going to an encyclopedia or a library. Shopping meant leaving the house. Breaking news was delivered to your doorstep or on a TV channel. So the web we sort of, as humanity, we sort of discount the things we get used to. We're used to all the good things the web has, and we focus on the bad things. So I think he's still pretty proud of what he has helped bring about. On the other hand, most of his letter is addressing the things that are wrong, and he thinks they can be solved. So I would guess he is not content with the state of it, but hopeful. It seems to be cautiously optimistic.
So Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp were down yesterday, and I was.
Were they?
I know exactly. You tweeted like I didn't really notice. I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, oh. And then I was looking at Instagram and seeing things didn't really didn't seem to be updating, and I was kind of happy. Like, I was like, fine, I wish Facebook were always down because I don't like it. And I only go there because I have to sometimes. And I mean, you said let's not blame Facebook. That's not the problem. I'm getting rid of Facebook isn't the problem. But I mean, can we make anything of the fact that, all of us were like, Facebook was down. So what?
Well, first of all, I didn't say don't blame Facebook. I said, let's blame them for the correct things, the things they're actually responsible for, which is not always what is happening. But yeah, yesterday I knew Facebook was having problems because I saw it in my RSS feeds. I did not experience it. Now, I'm unusual. I use Facebook very little. However, I do use it a tiny bit. I definitely checked Instagram yesterday and didn't notice it was down. I guess the moment I checked it, I lucked out and got something to load. I don't message on WhatsApp a lot, so I'm not a typical user, which is why I posted that on Twitter saying, I'm probably the exception to the rule, but it didn't impact my life at all. And covering technology news for more than 10 years now, I often see these stories about outages, and they make great headlines and almost never impact people's actual lives. So I was curious if people would come back to me and say, as the internet is not hesitant to do, you're wrong. And I didn't get that. Now, it's an unscientific sample, but the people who responded to me were mostly, I didn't notice either, or I did notice, but it didn't really matter to me.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. You must be the only 30-year-old that still uses RSS feeds, still reads as RSS.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring it back.
Yeah. Retro tech.
Yeah.
And really, haven't you been covering tech news for like 2 decades almost? Or are you talking about like you wouldn't count your tech TV days as covering
Megan,
tech news?
Megan, I said more than 10 years because I didn't want to have to do math.
Okay.
We do math here all the time. But sorry, we should put that in the email.
20 years in September.
Okay, good. So no, you started when you were 10. That's amazing.
I know. I was a prodigy.
Tom Merritt is a prodigy.
Yes.
Really.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us. Tom Merritt is the author of the many sci-fi books that you could read right now, including Trigger, Pilot X, Citadel, and most recently, Gallium. I'm pronouncing that correctly, right? Gallium.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's also the host of Sword and Laser, Daily Tech News Show, Current Geek, Cord Killers. I couldn't name them all. We don't have time because there's so many others. And of course, you can find out everything that he's doing at tommerritt.com. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Tom Merritt, how are you so cool? How are you able to do all this stuff?
I'm not. But thank you. It's very nice of you to say.
Thank you, Tom. Always great to see you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.